it's only by your blood that we are able to access you and the Father. We thank you for that. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, church, would you join me in a word of prayer, please? Let's pray. My Father God, this morning, would you tune our hearts to hear your word on prayer through prayer? We ask, God, that you would display the beauty of prayer to us as a lovely garden where we can come freely and sit quietly with you, smelling the flowers of grace and mercy and delighting in the sweet fragrance of you, Lord Jesus. We ask this prayerfully in the power and presence of your Spirit. Amen. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Steve Thompson. I serve as one of the elders here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church. I'm preaching today because Pastor Dan is on vacation, so I have the opportunity to bring you the Word of God, and it is a privilege to do that. And I'd like to preface this message on prayer as we continue in the series that Pastor Dan began, that this message on prayer is not so much about prayer. It's about who God is. God is the hero of this story. And the fact that a person can come to God in prayer and say, "Our Father in heaven," is because of his grace and mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's only and always through Christ alone that Scripture states that we can draw near to the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I want to ask a question. What if you were sick and at the point of death? Your doctor tells you, get your affairs in order. You're going to die. You're not going to recover. What would you do? Would you cry, laugh, pray, tear up your bucket list and throw it in the trash? Ask for a second opinion from another doctor? What would you do? Well, I'd like to contend that prayer is a far better choice than all the other options that I just mentioned to you. Think about it. Prayer is a one-of-a-kind link between God and man. Prayer is important and powerful. Time spent in prayer is time spent well. In fact, prayer makes the difference in everything. So there's three main points today in this message that I want us to take away concerning prayer and who God is. And those three points are, when it comes to prayer, number one, we're needy for God. Second, when it comes to prayer, we're asking God. And third, when it comes to prayer, we're trusting God. So the scripture today is from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And if you're able, would you please stand in honor of God and His Word? 2 Kings, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And if you're like me and you're not very familiar with where the book of 2 Kings is in your Bible, it's about a quarter of a way into the book between 1 Kings and 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Here's God's Word, 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. In those days Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." You may be seated. Something that's very interesting as I was preparing this message, from the text that we just read from 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, it appears Hezekiah's prayer changed God's mind. This ties in so well with Pastor Dan's sermon last week. Pastor Dan said this, "Prayer doesn't bend God to our will. Prayer bends our will to God." Now let me say that again. Prayer bends our will to God. Prayer doesn't bend God to our will. So God's plan is unchanging in His sovereignty. Prayer is part of God's plan. Hezekiah's prayer didn't change God's plan. Hezekiah's prayer was part of the plan. And let's take a look at this Hezekiah, who was king of Judah between 1715 and 1686 BC. It's interesting to note the accounts of his life and his reigning as king of Judah can be found in three of the Old Testament books of the Bible, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Isaiah. And according to Scripture, Hezekiah was a man who trusted God and prospered because of God's grace. In fact, his trust in the Lord, according to Scripture, it says, was like no king in Judah, before him or after him. And in addition, Hezekiah was a man of prayer. He prayed not only to be saved from illness, but that Jerusalem would be saved from an attack by the Assyrian army. In that particular prayer concerning the Assyrian invasion, Hezekiah prayed that God alone would be known throughout the earth as the only God and Creator. So Hezekiah was a man who recognized God's greatness and majesty, but he also recognized his neediness for God in prayer. And that brings us to our first point. Prayer is about being needy for God. Hezekiah certainly had a desperate need to be healed of his illness and saved from death. He realized that when Isaiah told him that he would not recover from his illness. And as was mentioned in the introduction, if you receive such news, what would you do? Prayer is the only answer. So let's look again at 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover." Whether we'd like to admit it or not, we're like Hezekiah. We may not be facing death due to a terminal illness, but in this room, we are all the neediest people in La Crescent. We are all the neediest people in La Crescent. Now, in your spirit, does that make your spirit like mine recoil with some pride? Me? Needy? What would I be needy about? Now, I'm not talking about needy for things like clothing and food and shelter, but I'm talking about a spiritual neediness that only God can satisfy in Christ. Satisfied in Christ means trusting Him for everything. His grace alone is sufficient for everyday living, now and in the future, and even in the most difficult times. Hezekiah's prayer points to trusting in the sufficiency of God's grace alone, which demonstrates neediness. And neediness points to the prayer of another king. In fact, He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night when He was betrayed. And much like Hezekiah, by the way, Jesus was in agony. He was going to die. He needed His Heavenly Father desperately. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 26, verses 38 and 39. Then He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, He fell on His face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." Jesus and Hezekiah's prayers to God in a time of trial indicated their neediness before the Father. Church, listen to this. Prayer is all about being needy for God. Humbling oneself before God in prayer makes us realize our neediness. Prayer shows us that we are helpless but not hopeless. Let me repeat that again. Prayer shows us that we are helpless but not hopeless. God hears the prayers of a righteous person, and there is great power as it is working. If God didn't hear prayer, He wouldn't be God. Prayer would be useless. We'd be talking to ourselves. But prayer is real, meaningful, and powerful. Prayer involves being needy for God. Prayer also involves asking God. And that brings us to our second point. Prayer is all about asking God. Now, Hezekiah was certainly in need of seeking God's face through prayer. He sincerely and simply pleaded his case by asking God to remember him. And in fact, he wept bitterly before God, it says. Let's take a look again at 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 2 and 3. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before You in faithfulness with a whole heart and have done what is good in Your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Let me ask another question. Do you and I realize our desperation for God's grace and mercy? Think about that today, church. Do we apprehend the fact that God gives generously through prayer? He did that for Hezekiah, and He'll do that for you and me. But here's the thing. We have to ask. We have to ask God. And we have to ask in faith for God's wisdom with no doubts, trusting that God's plan is always best. Here's James chapter 1. Take a look. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." During the Easter weekend, my wife Julie and I went to see some of her family in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We traveled by air, and on the way back, our trip included flying into a snowstorm on April 3rd into Minneapolis, St. Paul. she and I, my wife and I, concluded in our prideful wisdom that this is not going to turn out well because of the adverse weather conditions. We had it all figured out. Instead of asking God for wisdom and faith and resting in His will, we allowed anxiety and doubt to wash over our prayers. As a result, we didn't receive God's peace, which Scripture says surpasses all understanding. We also forgot to realize that our Father in heaven knows what we need before we ask Him. You ever been there before, church? Yeah. In reality, we lacked wisdom and trust in the one who is sovereign over all things, including snowstorms. In the end, everything turned out better than we expected. Much better than we expected, in fact. That's what grace is, church. That's God's grace. That's who God is. Think about that. He's a good, good Father. That's who God is. And in our broken, chaotic world, sin gets in the way of prayer because we are sinners just like Hezekiah. Sin taints the beauty of prayer just like weeds taint a beautiful flower garden. For example, even after God heard his prayer and healed him, Hezekiah's sinfulness reared its ugly head in the form of pride. Take a look with me here at 2 Chronicles chapter 32. We'll take a look at verses 24 and 26 about this pride. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death, and he prayed to the Lord, and he answered him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not make return according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came upon him and Judah and Jerusalem. And then to verse 26. But Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. After God answered Hezekiah's prayer and healed him, here's his sinful pride. You may know this story. In his pride, it caused him to show an envoy of Babylonians all the treasures in his house, all the riches of his storehouses. In effect, Hezekiah tainted God's answer to prayer because of his pride. You and I are susceptible to that too. And later on, Scripture says, in Hezekiah's reign as king, all of his material possessions, even his own sons, would be carried to Babylon. And all of that was according to God's plan and purpose. In spite of sin getting in the way of prayer, God still bids us come and ask because we have an intercessor. By the work of the Holy Spirit, this is very important, church, listen closely. The Holy Spirit, He intervenes on behalf of the believer in Christ. Even in weakness, in doubt, and discouragement, the Holy Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. So my exhortation is to come to the Father in prayer, needy for Him and asking Him. But there's one more thing that brings us to point number three, that prayer is about trusting God. Prayer is about trusting God. Think about this. God can always be trusted to make the difference in prayer. Have you ever thought about that? God can be always trusted to make the difference in prayer. He always hears and answers the prayers of His people. Think about the example today we saw from what is going on in Bogota, Colombia, with Children's Vision. Think of the prayers. Think of the prayers that God has made a difference for His people. Whether it be yes, no, or wait, God can always be trusted in prayer. Prayer never goes unnoticed by God. His answer to prayer will always be for His name's sake and for the good of His people. Always, always, always. Here's what Scripture says about that in our text again, looking back to 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord." Here's verse 6. "And I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake." Do you hear that? God says, "For my own sake, I will defend this city, and for my servant David's sake." Think about it. God not only healed Hezekiah's illness, He added 15 years to his life. God delivered Hezekiah and the city of Jerusalem from the king of Assyria. Church, think about it. That's the way God does things. That's our good, good Father. That's who God is. He is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. God supplies every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Yes, prayer is the means through which God can be trusted to make the difference in all situations. But you might be asking yourself, "Well, now wait a minute, Steve. What about the circumstances? What about the circumstances where things don't seem to be changing? Or bad situations are getting even worse. What about that?" What happens when a Hezekiah-type prayer doesn't bring healing? What is going on when it seems God isn't making the difference? Let's go back to the Garden of Gethsemane and look to the Lord Jesus Christ for the answers. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 22, verses 41 and 42. "And He withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Yours be done.'" Now let's get this picture in our mind. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is suffering agony and sorrow. He's going to the cross the next day. God will put His full wrath upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross so that the punishment for man's sin can be paid in full by the blood of Christ. He is in agony and sorrow. He asked that the Father take that cup of wrath away. Think about that. Yet in the suffering of His darkest hour, Jesus humbly yielded His desires to the Father. Through prayer, God's purpose and plan would make the difference. And what a difference God made. Through the Son, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension into heaven, those who receive that good news, that embrace that Christ did that. The innocent man paid the price for the guilty so that the guilty would go free. And those who receive that good news in Christ by faith alone, through God's grace alone, can trust Him even in the most difficult trials. So don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on God. If you've come here today and you've been praying about something and it seems like nothing is changing, it's like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming back. Here's my exhortation, my encouragement, church. Even in the weakest, most feeble, unbelieving moments, don't believe for one minute that trusting God through prayer won't make a difference. Just because circumstances don't change or situations get worse, don't think that prayer is ineffective and powerless. Remember this. Prayer's outcome is trusting our God, not trusting in the outcome of our prayers. Let me say that one more time. Prayer's outcome is trusting our God, not trusting in the outcome of our prayers. So why does the prayer of a king who lived nearly 3,000 years ago make a difference today for you and me? Here's the answer. Hezekiah's prayer should cause us to realize that prayer makes the difference in every situation you and I will ever face in our life. Think about that. Prayer is about being needy as well as asking and trusting God to make the difference. So here's three important truths that I want us to take a look at concerning prayer according to Scripture. Here's three of them right off the bat. Take a look here. They're not what Steve's saying. They're what's based on what God says. Take a look. And if you're a note taker, this is your opportunity to write these down and keep these and live them and own them. Number one, pray constantly. Think about that. Day, night, when you wake from sleep, go to God in prayer, because we're needy and we need to ask Him and trust Him. Pray about everything. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too big to bring to God in prayer. Pray about everything. And thirdly, remember, prayer is powerful because God is sovereign over prayer and over everything. And here's three more. I got three more here for you. Prayer truths about who God is. Think about these. I can never be too needy that God won't provide. I can never be too needy that God won't provide. In every situation, He will do that. Secondly, I can never ask too much that God won't answer. Have you ever been there before? It's like we have this wall between us and God that we're asking too much, and maybe that He won't answer. Think about that, though. I can never ask too much that God won't answer. And third, I can never trust too little that God won't make the difference. As Pastor Dan has mentioned in this sermon series on prayer, God hears the prayers of a righteous person. As Pastor Dan said, He hears and answers the prayers of the person who has been made right with God. Who is that? That's the believer. A person right with God who is trusting in Christ alone through grace alone has been cleansed of all their sins and has received Him by faith alone through grace alone. Church, if you come to La Crescent, you know what grace and mercy are all about. That God's, in His sovereignty, the good news message of the cross is trusting Christ alone through faith alone. That's the gospel. That's the good news. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, if you're listening to my voice, you may wonder what you're asking for results in. And as Pastor Dan has shared in previous messages, you're basically praying to a brick wall. And while Jesus blew open the door to God the Father, he did so for his brothers and sisters. That means that access to God is a family privilege. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. Today can be your day of adoption. If you don't know Christ as you're listening to my voice, if you're not sure that you've crossed that line of faith, as Pastor Dan says, today can be your day of adoption. You can know beyond the shadow of a doubt, you can know Jesus as Lord, Savior, and friend right now by repenting of sin and believing in Him. God hears the prayers of a person who turns toward Him and away from sin. That's called repentance. That's called repentance. God never despises a needy, asking, and trusting heart. He hears the cries for forgiveness of sin. He hears the pleas of mercy, asking Him to provide everything for life and godliness. As the old hymn says, yes, even the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Church, that's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of the cross. And so as I wrap up this message on prayer, Pastor Dan, myself, and in fact all of the elders at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church exhort the church to seek God's face and enjoy Him through prayer. In fact, the main goal of this preaching series on prayer is that it would be authentic and passionate, a passionate desire of our hearts. And is that really your and my heart's desire? Do we want to live and own what we're hearing about who God is and that He really is for us? When it comes to prayer, for example, here at La Crescent, we have pre-service and post-service prayer opportunities. Did you know that? Let's utilize those. Nothing is more important than praying with and for others. Now, let me say that again. Nothing is more important than praying with and for others. So husbands, do we pray with our wives? Wives, do you pray with your husbands? If not, why not? Single men, do you have another guy or guys as prayer partners? Ladies, single ladies, do you have another lady or ladies that you're praying with and praying for? If not, why not? And think about this. True and humble prayer is important and powerful due to the Christ-exalting work of the Holy Spirit. Prayer is about asking God in faith even when you don't want to pray. If you're like me, you don't want to pray a lot of times. Can you relate to that? If you wrestle to pray like I do because of inconsistency or lack of passion, we don't have to feel guilty. Whether it be sinful pride, fear, doubt, anxiety, or just plain old apathy, remember that God gives generously to those who ask without reproach, who come to Him with a humble and broken spirit. God calls us to a deeper prayer life for the good of His people and for His glory. Here's a final thought. God answered Hezekiah's prayer graciously and then some. Not because Hezekiah deserved it, and not because Hezekiah was a great king. A king's prayer nearly 3,000 years ago was answered because the King of Kings, God Himself, has a steadfast love that endures forever. His mercies are new every morning. The riches of His grace are expressed in His kindness to believers in Christ. That's who God is. That's our good, good Father. That's our good, good Father. That's why we can delight in Him through Christ alone as we pray. That's why God is the hero of this story. So, church, come to God needy, asking, and trusting Him to make the difference through prayer. Let's pray. Oh, Father, as we hear Your word on prayer, Sovereign Father, today we say, hallowed be Your name. We are needy for Your kingdom to come and Your will to be done. Father, we ask for the daily bread that only You can supply, which will be sufficient for the day. We trust You. We trust You, Father, in Christ this morning, through the power of Your Spirit, to guide us, to humble us, and to guard us for Your name's sake, for Your glory, and for the good of Your people. Amen.